Welcome back to Messy in the Middle with me this morning. Well, it's morning for me. I don't know when you're listening to this. I have Morgan Specht of Specht & Co. Design. Morgan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Did I say your last name right?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, perfect. I was like, there's one letter more than I was expecting, and I didn't know.
Yeah, most people but don't, awesome. But you nailed it.
Fantastic. So thank you so much for being here today, Morgan. I'm very excited to get to chat because I feel like we've been in one another's like radar for a while. We've never actually gotten to like hang out and connect. So this is like getting to meet and have coffee for real for the first time. But yeah. Our listeners don't know you at all. So why don't you introduce yourself a little bit and talk about what got you into being on this silly little podcast?
Yeah. So my name's Morgan. I am the founder / creative director, sort of everything doer of Specht & Co. Creative Studio. We do branding and Squarespace and Kajabi web design for service providers. I do have a small team who helps me out, which has been kind of a new development in the last like year or two. So that's been cool. And I started my business because I hated sitting in a cubicle all day and having a boss. So, yeah.
What were you doing when you were sitting in a cubicle all day? Were you a designer then, or was this something that you kind of pivoted into as a way to get yourself working for yourself?
Yeah, so I went to college for graphic design. Like, I have a bachelor's degree in visual communication and marketing. And I kind of thought, like, I'm going to go work at an agency for, like, 20 years. And then someday when I'm, like, for my, like, retirement job, I'll start my own business and freelance or whatever. So I got an agency job straight out of college and thought that I was just, like, the coolest thing ever. And was like, oh, this is, like, my dream job. It's going to be so amazing. And I made it 11 months before I burned out and was like, I can't do this for like another second, let alone the rest of my life.
Right.
So then I went and got a different like in-house web design job at an e-commerce company. And that was better as far as work-life balance goes. And I had like really great coworkers, but I still kind of was just like, this is not like, I just knew it wasn't a forever thing. Mm-hmm. There was like not a lot of upward mobility. There was a lot of managers taking credit for work that they did not do. So yeah. And then I kind of was like, okay, well, I have the free time now, so I'll start freelancing on the side and just like see what happens. And then after a year of doing that, I was like, okay, I could do something with this. So I hired a business coach and she helped me kind of legitimize things a little more. And then when my husband and I got married, we went on our honeymoon and I was like, peace out, I'm not coming back.
Love that. So when you decided to like hire your first business coach, were you still, so that was when you were still working full time. You did that until you got married. What was the process like to decide that you were ready to leave that corporate job? Was it just like, now that I'm married, I'm good, I have the stability? Or was there like any other process leading up to deciding to leave?
No, it was not. Now I'm married and I have stability. My husband got laid off from his job like right before our wedding. And I was like, well, I already have like this plan. I'm just going to do it and cross my fingers and hope that it works. And it did. Got another job within like a couple of months. So it wasn't a huge deal. But yeah, so I freelanced for that first year and I made like $12,000 or something. And I was like, well, that's like pretty solid for like just little projects here and there in my free time. But obviously I need to grow this more to like replace my income and afford to leave. And I thought that I needed help with marketing. So I got on Facebook like groups at the time. I think this was back in like 2016. And I was like, hey, I'm looking for somebody to help me market my graphic design business. At that time, I had not like niched down into specifically brand and web design. I was just doing whatever. So I interviewed a few people who were like, oh, I can help you do your marketing. And I was like, this is not like none of these are feeling right. Yeah. And then somebody else was like, I was where you are at in business a few years ago. And I hired this lady as a business coach and she really like helped me a lot. So I got on a call with her and after like 10 minutes of talking, I was like, okay, you are what I need. So she kind of helped me like niche down a little bit and figure out like packages and pricing that were more profitable versus like just charging hourly. And also with a lot of the like mindset stuff of like, okay, I can leave my job and trust myself and it's going to be fine. And even if it's not fine, I'll just go find another job. Like it's not the end of the world.
Gotcha. Yeah, I feel like
Yeah.
everyone has such a different story of how they, became ready to leave or became ready to make their business full time. Even just like in the last like week, I've been batching interviews for this, and we had like someone who got fired and someone who was like just too burnt out to do it anymore. And it's so
Yep.
interesting to hear what everyone's stories are like because mine was very much like other. So when it came time to like, oh, I have this one job that I really hate, well, that only pays me enough to buy groceries. So like we can just let that one go for now.
Yeah.
So in that like growing and learning process, as you were like deciding to refine down to Brandon Webb and like maybe getting into working with that business coach, what was maybe something that you did then that in the moment was like, oh my God, this is so annoying, but looking back now, like you learned a lot from that and it's helped shape your business now.
Yeah. So I don't want to say I was like so desperate for work, but I was like so excited about freelancing that I was like, I'm just going to take on all the clients. And I did like some really weird things. Like I designed a print catalog for like children's ballet clothes. And I designed some hot sauce labels for like this guy in the UK who makes hot sauce in his garage, like all kinds of really weird stuff. And some of those clients were really great and really fun to work with, but a lot of them were not great and not fun to work with. But I learned a lot about what type of people I do want to work with and like how to set boundaries. And, sometimes you have to just take on the project to pay the bills, but sometimes it's not worth it. So just kind of like feeling out where that line is, kind of. And I think also like just learning how to work with clients. Because, whenever I was used to having like a boss who would be like, this is what we need to make. And then I went to work with clients who were like, I don't know, I think I want this. And then I would make them the thing they asked for. And then they're like, oh, I don't like it. Or they would have no idea. And I would have to make it up. So learning like how to work with people who don't speak design and don't know what they want and like what questions to ask to pull those things out of them. And there were so many nights where I was up until like 1 o'clock in the morning working on these projects that I was like, this sucks. I'm only getting paid $35 an hour. This guy's kind of a jerk. Like, I don't want to be doing this. But I think it was a really important learning experience to have before I left my job so that I was like, if this project blows up in my face and they fire me, it's okay. Like, I'm not gonna have my power turned off because I pissed off this person.
Plus, I mean, I think you also have to go through the process of like you're used to having a boss, you're used to being able like being told what to do, and you're also used to like not really having enough agency to be able to push back if you like disagree with your boss or you have a different direction for something. And then I think when you get into doing work with clients, there's a bit of a learning curve of like, no, I am the expert. Like, the client does have a say. It's like their project, but like, I do get to push back if I don't agree with what they're saying because they're not just like some random middle manager who gets to tell you what to do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or when they're like, I need this done by tomorrow, and you're like, well, I'm sorry, sir, but it's 8 p.m. Like, that's not going to happen. And that was like owning my own business has definitely helped me, I don't know, like take my own power back, feel more confident in myself because
Yeah,
before I would just
definitely.
run to my boss and be like, this person's asking for this and I can't do it. Help. And they would go do their thing and like fix the problem. And so having it be kind of like having myself be like forced to be the one to deal with that and have those hard conversations was not fun at the time, but now like it's easy and I feel comfortable doing that and I know that like I don't need to take it personal and like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I can like remember one of the first times I got like true, not even feedback, but just like response to something that like the client was unhappy with. And I was like so upset and I like cried and I was like took it so personally. And now if a client doesn't like something, it's a lot easier to be like, okay, I respect that you don't like it, but here's why you're wrong. Or like figuring out the right way to like help them get to what they actually want, because like you said, they don't speak design or they don't speak marketing, so they don't know how to ask for that exact thing that they're looking for, but you need to help them like figure out how to get there. I want to touch on something you said earlier about like, oh, I'm only being paid $35 an hour for this or whatever. I feel like when it comes to finding your footing and finding your own as an entrepreneur, like everyone's pricing journey is, I think, really fascinating and interesting to see how people go from like what they charge hourly to like getting into packages and then figuring out what an actual hourly rate is that's not like their regular job rate. So what has your relationship with pricing been like over the course of your business journey? I know it's like a very open-ended question, but
It's been a roller coaster. So when I first started, I kind of based it off of like, I think at my agency job, I was making like $17 or $18 an hour. I also had benefits and they took out taxes and like all the stuff that you don't know that you need to think about when you're working for yourself. So I was like, okay. And I started my business on Upwork. So I was like, I'm gonna charge, I think $25 an hour is where I started. And I take their like 10%. It's like that works out to like I'm making it the same. And at that point, I was like, I just want to like learn how to do this. I'm not trying to pay the bills with it. And so then I don't know, maybe like 6 months later, bumped up to 35 an hour and then 45 an hour. And I finally got to a point where I was at like 75 an hour after, like, I think that was my hourly rate whenever I left my full-time job was 75 an hour, but I wasn't doing a lot of hourly work. I was just doing like a little bit here and there. And at that point, I had been like, okay, I really want to focus on branding. And it's too hard to quote somebody how long it's going to take to design a logo. So I need to figure out flat rate pricing. And I want to say that my first like logo only package, so basically I'll design your logo and like do like a color palette, was like $450. And then a like branding package was like 1200, and then I just kind of like every year increased a little, increased a little, increased a little. And then this last year, like in 2022, I just had a lot of like life things going on. My husband joined the Air Force. We were moving. I was like alone for like 6 months, and I think I was not putting the same quality of effort into my business. I was definitely putting time into it, but like my mind was just other places. And so things started to slow down, and I was like, oh crap, I need more work. So I lowered my prices, thinking if it's cheaper, more people will buy it. That was not the case. It didn't help at all. And so that was kind of interesting to be like, okay, it's really not about the price. Like, not to say you can charge whatever you want, but if a package is $3,000 versus $2,000, it's really not going to change how many or who buys it. So that was kind of interesting to learn. And then when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to need to build a team now because somebody has to take care of my clients while I'm on maternity leave. So then I kind of had to revisit and be like, okay, well, now I have like more expenses that I need to make sure like these are still profitable. So kind of revamped packages and pricing the beginning of last year. And I always struggle with like if I'm going to increase the price, I need to also add more stuff to the package. So that's been a journey for me to be like, no, like I am the value. I don't need to add more deliverables, you know? So yeah, it's been interesting for sure. It definitely, like, if you had told me when I first started my business, oh, 6 or 8 years from now, you're going to be charging 4 to 6 grand for a brand new package, I would have like barfed. I would not have believed you.
I think it's such an interesting and relatable journey to go through, though, when it comes to like starting your pricing out in one way and then like having to experiment with something new, but like being able to make all those decisions on your own, like even when it's scary in the moment, I feel like it gives you the confidence and the like reference point to be able to say like, okay, maybe flat lowering my prices across the board won't help me get new clients if, leads are slow. But if I really need $2,000 and I'm on a call with someone and their budget is $2,000, maybe my $2,500 package doesn't have to be $2,500. Like, you are able to like use your own judgment and make those decisions, like, not on the fly, but like in the moment if you need to. And I think that's such a valuable skill to be able to have that you definitely don't have when you're just like working in corporate and someone else is deciding how much everything costs and how long it all takes.
Yeah. And then you find out that, oh, the client's paying this agency $50,000 and I'm making 15
right.
bucks an hour. And you're like, wait a second. But yeah. And I've done that too, of like, there's been a client who like, I really thought that their business was like doing something important and I really wanted to work with them, and they were like, I only have $1,500. And so like, I try to not discount my services. I try to be like, okay, well then let's like figure out a custom package that can fit within that, so that, and I don't think I've ever had anybody be like, oh, well, can you give me a discount? It's usually that they're like, I just really wish I could hire you, but I don't quite have the funds for it. And then I'll be like, okay, well, let's figure out a way that it like works for both of us. But yeah, I just wanted to be a graphic designer when I grew up. I didn't want to be a business owner and a salesperson and a negotiator and like all of these things. But the longer I'm in business, the more I'm starting to love like running the business. And I still obviously like really enjoy the design and the creative stuff, but I'm like, okay, being an entrepreneur actually is fun and rewarding now that I feel like I'm getting the hang of it.
Yeah, definitely. I always kind of felt the opposite. Like, I always wanted to be a business owner. I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I like didn't have an idea. Like, I didn't have an idea for a product. I didn't have like a random skill I could turn into a service. And so then I just like got into marketing as a way to like get into business. And then now that I'm doing it, like, I love marketing, don't get me wrong, but like, I love figuring out the numbers. I love doing the HR, like all of that side of things. I'm like, yes, give me more. Like, if you handed me another business tomorrow, I'd be like, sick, this is so cool. I love my current business, but like, I think I would love getting to run any business, because I think it's just like this fun puzzle that we get to put together and like also decide what the picture is all at the same time.
Yeah, totally. And that is exactly how I feel now. But at the beginning, I was like, wait, I have to like do bookkeeping and taxes, and like, and I also, so I'm the first person in my family to go to college. So it was kind of like my parents just worked a ton to like make ends meet, and it was like, okay, I'm gonna go to college so that I don't have to do that, and I'm gonna like have a career and a 401k and work there till I retire. So whenever I was like 3 years into that and I was like, hey guys, guess what, I'm quitting, it was kind of like, like, my family was supportive, but they were like, are you sure? Like, are you really sure that that's what you want to do? So I think it also, like, didn't put pressure on me, but definitely gave me the motivation of, like, okay, you got to make this work, because, like, you just spent all this money and time in college so that you could have this stable career, and then you were just like, nah, I don't want that.
Right. I do think, though, that, like, the concept of a stable career is, like, not as
it's fake.
Yeah, it, like, my partner works for the government, he's good, he's stable, like, he nothing bad's gonna happen to his job security. But like, especially if you're like in a creative field in the first place, even like a safe creative field, like going to school for marketing, like that's in the business school, like that should be, you know, super safe. But, you know, one of the first agencies that I was like, you know, working with at one point, like, I was the only person working there because they laid everyone else off. Like, that's not stable. Because then if you don't have, like, those skills to then go out and get your own business, like, the marketing needs didn't disappear. Like, how do you get a new job if no one's hiring for marketing? Like, it just completely, like, pulls the rug out from under you. And I think that that's pretty universal across, I would say, like, any creative field. But really, like, any field right now is just, like, they could pull the rug out from under you at any point, and you just have to, like, roll with it. And that terrifies me, and I've never felt that way about my business.
Yeah, I have so many thoughts about all of that. So I will say that right now my husband is in the Air Force, so like government job also, which is great because we have like good benefits and he can't really like get laid off. So that's great. That hasn't been the case the entire time I've been in business, but it is nice to have like that security. But yeah, I was like, I'm gonna go, you know, get my 401k and my retirement plan and paid vacation and whatever, and it's gonna be great. And then at that web design e-commerce job, I had been there like 2 years, I think. And whenever I got hired, it was like the best place kind of in like the area I lived to work for, like my field. Like they had great benefits, they had an unlimited PTO policy, you got bonuses every quarter, and I was like, this is like the dream. And then things kind of like, you could tell, were starting to go downhill, and they wouldn't say so, obviously. And I was like 3 days away from closing on buying my first house at like 22 years old, so I was like super excited and proud of myself. It was like, I never could have imagined this is the coolest thing. And they had a all hands company meeting, and we're like, so half of you are getting laid off. Like, go back to your desk and check your email to see if you're one of the unlucky ones, basically.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my goodness, like freaking out, right? Luckily, I survived that round of layoffs. And I ended up staying there another like year and a half after that. But every like few months, it would be like, oh, so-and-so got laid off. Oh, this whole department got laid off. Right. And I kind of started to be like, okay, there is no such thing as a stable job. Like, you know, they could tomorrow be like, oh, you don't have a job anymore. And I would get like 2 weeks of severance pay and then just be totally screwed. So that's kind of where I started to feel a little more comfortable leaving, because I was like, okay, well, I would rather rely on myself than rely on like these CEOs and bigwig people who I know don't even know my name, let alone actually care about me.
Right. Like, they're not laying you off because they don't
have money.
They're laying you off because they want more money for themselves.
Right. Well, and on the flip side of that, they're also not laying me off because I'm doing a bad job. Like, there's no like rhyme or reason to any of it. It really is just kind of luck of the draw. So that's where I kind of was like, well, you know, if I'm going to end up homeless and on the street because I'm not making any money, I would at least prefer for it to be my own fault than like just some random decision of some guy in like an office with windows for walls, you know?
So how has the experience of working for other people, kind of like the threat of being laid off, not like an intentional threat, but like that kind of looming energy, and then going solo, but then having a team, how has that influenced, I guess, some of your thoughts towards hiring? Because I know we have a lot of like mind shit around bringing on team members. And how has it influenced like your leadership style and how you run your team today?
Yeah. So when I was in corporate and like even like in school and stuff, like leadership was not a thought in my brain ever. You know, like you have like kids in high school who are in like ASB and leadership class and whatever, like that was, I wanted to like lay low and fly under the radar and just get in and get out. And like the less people who talk to me, the better. So I started by hiring a VA who was like also in like a mastermind group I was in. So we were kind of like friends. And that definitely made it not feel so daunting, because I was like, I can tell her like when I'm having a bad day or when I'm stressed out or whatever. And then she ended up growing her business into like an agency model. So I got one of the VAs who she hired, and she's been with me for, I want to say like 4 years now.
Oh, wow.
So I think my like key has been doing it slowly, which might have inhibited my growth. Like maybe I could be farther along if I had like moved quicker, but I have never been like worried that I'm not going to be able to pay my people, or that like they're going to ask me a question and I'm not going to have the answer or something like that. So, and it was just me and her up until November of last year, when I was like, hey, I need to start prepping for maternity leave. Designer. And even that, like I just started out really small and I was like, okay, it's just going to be 10 hours a month of like working with my retainer clients, and then we'll kind of increase as we both feel comfortable. The other thing is that I'm like, I ask them for feedback so often that it's probably annoying of like, how am I doing? Is there anything that I could be doing better? Is like, do you feel like I'm like responsive enough? Is there something you want to learn that I can help you with? And I think that has been, usually they're like, everything's fine. Like, I'm good. I don't have anything to say. But I think just like going an extra step beyond just saying, oh, my door's always open, because I had bosses tell me that. And I'm like, yeah, but like,
Right.
it's not though. Like, I appreciate that, but I can't actually come to you and like have an honest conversation. So I had a lot of good bosses in my corporate days, and even like in college when I was like working at Costco or whatever. And I also had a lot of bad ones, and I think I've taken a lot of lessons of like what do I want to keep from them, and then what things am I like, I'm never ever ever going to do that. For example, like my boss that I had who stood up in front of our whole company and was like, oh, look at this cool logo I designed. And I was like, I did that, but okay, you could have at least said my team designed, but fine, whatever. He ended up getting laid off before me, so it was fine.
Karma, baby. Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's always like nerve-wracking to think about like bad work experiences or bad boss experiences because like they can influence us in really positive ways and make us really, trying hard to be good leaders, but they can also like teach us bad habits or make us feel like, oh, this is what it means to be a boss. Like one of my first boss ever was great. That's because I was like worked at a roller rink and like it's fun to work at a
Yeah, it
roller
was fun.
rink. But my
Yeah.
first one of my first like real bosses was like this angry man who like yelled a lot and only gave negative feedback and like was just a nightmare. And I remember being so like nervous that like that was how you had to do it. Like, if this is what marketing is like, if this is what the creative industry is like, it was very much like the male version of like the Miranda Priestly archetype from Devil Wears Prada, like just like the tough bitch, except it's like some dude. So I was like, I don't want to be like that, but like I want to be there. So I think it's great when we're able to like take those experiences and spin them into like positive leadership opportunities. Because I feel the same way about my team. I'm always like, how can I do better? What can I do to support you? Like we have weekly one-on-ones that like don't have agendas. It's literally just like, what's going on? What's the vibe? Like, let's talk about it. But not everyone is like as lucky to get that experience or get to give that experience. So that's awesome. I want to talk about something new that you launched or are launching, which is your membership. I am just like so intrigued by it. So why don't you tell everyone a little bit what it's about, and then I can figure out what my actual questions are, other than I just want to hear you talk about it.
Yeah, it's super cool and weird and interesting, and I have never seen anything quite like it, so I'm pretty excited. So in like June, July of this year, right as I was coming back from maternity leave, which was great timing, I had like three out of four of my retainer, like monthly design clients, be like, I'm really sorry, I love working with you, but like I can't afford to renew my contract. So I think business has just been hard for everyone like this last year or so. And that was kind of the point where people were like, okay, I need to start like tightening up on the expenses a little bit. And they were all like one of them like cried whenever we were on the call and was like, I really don't want to stop working with you. And I was like, don't, like, it's fine. And she felt bad because she was like, I'm taking money out of your pocket. And I was like, I get it. Like, it sucks, but I get it. And I don't want you to like go into debt to work with me. But it never fails that like a month later, all of them are like, can you just do this one little project for me? It's just gonna take like an hour, which is fine. And like, since they are longtime clients, I'm happy to do it. But working hourly is just not efficient for me. Like the time that it takes to track my time and send an invoice and all of that, I'm like, it's not even worth it. So I was like, okay, there's gotta be some type of in between of like these people just figure it out on their own. And keeping me on their team for like 5 or 10 hours a month. And there was also a lot of things that I was like, most of this they could do themselves, or if they have a VA, like they could do it for them. So I came up with the idea for the Six Figure Brand Society, which is our new membership. It's kind of a hybrid of like an hourly design retainer and like a DIY tutorial resource library type membership. So there's like a learning hub that's got tutorials of like how to do things in Canva, how to add a new page to your Squarespace site, all sorts of stuff. We're like continually adding to it based on what people are asking us about in the group. And then we do every other week office hours. So if you're like, I have a question about, I don't know, like what I should be posting on Instagram or really like whatever, a lot of the stuff we end up talking about is kind of more like business coaching type stuff versus just branding, which is cool because it gives us the room to just talk about whatever people need help with. Kind of like you were saying about your one-on-ones. Like it's not, we're talking about this today. It's just, you tell me what you need and I'll help you with it. So that's cool. There's obviously like a Slack community, but then I think the really interesting thing is that like you also get 2 hours a month of hands-on design support. So you can be like, I need to make a landing page. I don't have time. Do it for me. Or I tried to make a change to my website and I broke it. Can you please fix it?
Right. Or even like, I created this new page and something about it looks a little bit off. Can you just like make it,
clean it up a little?
Not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's kind of the perfect blend of like done by you, of like there are all the resources you need to do pretty much anything yourself, done with you of like you do the thing, I'll review it, give you feedback, and then done for you of like, I just can't, Morgan, please do it for me, or my team, please do it for you. Right. So that's been a lot of fun. We just launched at the beginning of this month. We've got a handful of people in there. And it's been really, really interesting to see, like, depending on their business and their goals and how much they're comfortable doing themselves and stuff, like, everyone has used it in a really, really different way, which has not really been something I expected. So that's been cool. And it's also been fun to, like, connect all my people with each other. I've never had, like, a container where I can be like, hey, client A, you should really know client B. So that's been fun too, of like seeing them develop relationships and like collaborate with each other also.
Yeah, that's awesome. What are your plans for like growing it? Like, do you want the design studio to be like mostly membership? Is it just like a fun supplemental thing? Like, where do you see it in, you know, October 2025?
Yeah. So I think it will always be a supplemental thing. I think done for you services are my favorite way to work with people and the way that I can really like make the biggest impact. But starting now, like Q4, every time that you book like a pack, like a branding or web design or branding and web design with us, you get either, depending on the package, either a free month or a free quarter inside the membership. And where that's been really helpful, I have my first client who's doing that. She like just joined last week. Has been like, I hear a lot of, I worked with this designer and they designed my brand and it looks beautiful and they pass it off to me and now I don't know what to do.
Right.
So that has been cool to kind of have a way for me, for them to like have some training wheels as they learn how to use their new brand and how to use their new website and not feel like, okay, you're just on your own. But okay, I can still come to office hours and ask questions. Or if I am trying to figure out how to use my website and I mess something up, like I'm not totally on my own. So that's been really great. On the flip side, it's a good way for somebody to kind of get a taste of working with us without investing in like a several thousand dollar package. So if they're like, hey, I just started my business, I'm not at a point where I'm ready to fully invest in branding, which as a side note, like I don't recommend investing in branding or website in your first like year anyway. I think it usually turns out to be a waste of both time and money. So that's a good way too to be like, okay, I'm gonna figure all this out on my own. I'm gonna build my own Squarespace site and make my own logo in Canva, but I don't want to do it fully on my own. I want to have somebody to be like, hey, does this look good?
Right. So like I want to do it myself, but I don't want it to be bad.
Exactly. So I think having it as an option for like both sides of the coin is great. I do obviously want to grow it. I would love to have, 20 or 30 or 40 people in there. One of the things that we're going to start doing, I haven't decided quite yet, definitely Q1 of next year, if not sooner, is we're going to do probably monthly like guest expert training. So I'll have somebody come in to talk about marketing or Instagram or copywriting or mindset or whatever. So things that like you definitely need in order to build a six-figure business, but that I am not an expert in. That way we just kind of get a little more holistic like training opportunities.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. I love just like honestly any type of recurring revenue that's not strictly a retainer, because sometimes those can be like a real beast to manage. But I also love like especially what you were saying for people who are like brand and web design clients who then get either like the month or the quarter. It's that perfect way to offer support while still maintaining boundaries because it's like in this existing container.
Yep. And I think too, like when people hear recurring income, they think like digital product sales. And I've had so many people be like, oh, you should turn it into a course or whatever. And I'm like, it's not like the services I provide can't be productized. Like I don't want to make a DIY branding course because the people who would buy those are not my people. Like they're never gonna turn into clients, and it's just like it just is not like in alignment with who I want to serve and how I want to run my business. So this is a really cool way of like I still get to provide a lot of like high quality hands-on support without people feeling like it's gonna like drain their bank account.
Plus, then you don't have to make it into a course, 'cause creating courses like is a full-time job in and of itself.
Well, yeah, and people say, oh, passive income. Like, it's not passive. It takes so much work to successfully market a product like that.
For sure. And then like if you don't, you've wasted so much time. Like I think there's a lot of like education about like creating things or like pre-validating them before you create them, but then it's like what about after that? Like, what if you validate your idea, you sell out your beta, and then like no one else buys the thing? Like, technically you validated it, but like it still kind of feels like a waste because you were expecting it to be this like passive income generating machine.
And like, I mean, if we're talking about messy parts of business, I made a DIY logo course back in like 2018, I think. I did it as like a live workshop and then I turned it into a course. But no, like I got like three people to come to the workshop, which I was like, okay, cool. And like that was fine. They enjoyed it, but no one ever bought it afterwards. And I was like, okay, well, that was a huge waste of time. I did end up salvaging it a little bit by turning it into a free opt-in. So that was fine. But then that's where I learned of like the people who are like true DIYers are not my people. Because my thought was, okay, they'll buy the workshop and they'll DIY their logo, and then after a little while, they'll be like, okay, I don't like it anymore. I want it to be more professional or whatever, and then they'll come and hire me. But that didn't happen one single time. So that's where I kind of was like, okay, I need to focus on the people who understand investing in professional services like is worth it, and they just don't want to DIY or don't have time or whatever.
Yeah, but I also think that's like a lesson that everyone has to learn the hard way at least once. Otherwise, it'll always be in the back of your head like a pipe dream of like, oh, what if I turned this into a course
Maybe.
and like made money in my sleep? And it's like, nope, tried that, didn't work.
Yeah.
Moving on.
What if I made an Etsy shop and sell prints with cute quotes on them? Tried that, didn't work.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff that no matter how far in advance you hear, like, it's not a good idea, don't do it. It's like dating the bad boy in high school. Like, you know it's a
Yeah.
bad
I'm
idea,
gonna
but
be the
like, what
one.
if it's fun? Yeah, I'm gonna
Yeah.
be the one.
Yep.
I love that. Well, Morgan, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with me today. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Before we sign off completely, how can people follow you online? How can they learn about your membership? How can they give you lots of money to make amazing branding and web design projects for them?
Yeah, so the best place to hang out with me online is definitely Instagram. My tag's at Specs and Co. I'm sure you'll put it in the show notes. That is the best place to like hang out and like really like get to know like me as like a person. I obviously also share a lot about services and branding and that kind of stuff on there. I am trying hard, thanks to you, to get into LinkedIn. So I'm on there also. Definitely not as much as Instagram, but like that is a good place to connect with me. And then as far as like learning about services, so I do offer a free 5-minute brand audit, which is a great way to like just get my eyes on your brand. And I basically like brain dump. Here's what you're doing well. Here's some opportunities. Here's what I think you should do next.
Oh, that's so
And
fun.
then for the membership, I have a free 6-figure brand blueprint training. That's basically like our like cornerstone training inside the membership that kind of walks you through like a high level overview of what it takes to build a 6-figure brand and how you can do that.
Awesome. Well, all of those links will be in the show notes, so definitely check those out. That brand audit thing sounds super fun. Like the perfect way to like knock out a discovery call without having to coordinate Zoom or like calendar schedules.
Exactly. And it's a fun way for people to get a little taste of like me and be like, can I not stand listening to her voice for 5 minutes? Maybe I shouldn't hire her. Or like, she sounds cool and she's got some great ideas. Maybe I'll book a call. So that's been a new thing I started like 3 months or so ago. And it's been a ton of fun getting to like dive into people's brands, even if they don't ever end up hiring me.
Right. Yeah, I love that. Well, if you're listening and you're looking for a brand audit, definitely check that out. And if you're not looking for a brand audit, tune in next week for another episode of Messy in the Middle. Bye.